From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information as we begin the broadcast, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web, equip.org. And when you speak with our resource consultants, the number 888-7000, CRI. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up today, Steve, he's listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Started listening to you about 3 months ago, and I'm very thankful that I found you on the radio. You recommended a book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, and I found that very helpful. So I want to thank you for that guidance. I'm beginning that study for this year. I'm a new Christian, and the Lord has impacted my life dramatically over the last several years, and I don't have time to go into that, but I've run into a question. My pastor asked me very recently, because he's seen some change, if I love Jesus Christ. And honestly, it stopped me in my tracks, because I'm becoming more familiar with Scripture. I'm studying 1 Corinthians based on the guidance in how to read the Bible for all it's worth, but I'm going to be candid, and hopefully I don't sound foolish on your radio station, but I'm having trouble with the love word. I wasn't raised as a Christian. I've only been a Christian for a couple of years, and I like Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for what he's done in my life with my wife and the healing that's taken place there, but I guess my question to you is the love that you're supposed to feel when you ask Christ into your life an instantaneous occurrence, or is it progressive? Because I don't feel this love for my neighbors, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, to take it literally. And I'm struggling with this aspect of my faith.
Well, it's a beautiful and it's a brilliant question. And the simple answer is, yes, it is progressive.
Okay.
Your relationship with your wife is dependent on investing quality time. And so often, we treat God the same way that we treat our human relationships. We want intimacy without the investment of quality time. To develop intimacy, to develop love, is to spend time with the Lord. And the way you do that is to exercise the spiritual disciplines. And foremost among them is prayer. And Jesus modeled this during his earthly sojourn. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, because he desired fellowship with his heavenly Father. It's also attained through reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word. And by the way, when you meditate on the Word of God, it becomes the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life.
Okay.
So exercising the spiritual disciplines enhances the intimacy, and then it grows. And so you've asked the operative question, and the answer to that question is, yes, it is progressive. But what happens, I mean, at conversion is you realize that you're a sinner, as you did when you were converted. You're willing to repent of your sin, and the operative word there is willing, which is to say you want to turn from doing it your own way to doing it his way and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And as Savior and Lord, you develop intimacy with him, and it is progressive.
Thank you so much. That is very helpful.
Well, it's a great question, and I hope you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you will love him ever more dearly.
Thank you for for your show and thank you for your guidance. Have a good evening.
Good evening to you. And back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jill. Jill is listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I appreciate your show so much. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Well, bless you. Thank you.
Well, my question to you is, number one, if I tithe, does it matter if I give that money to the church or if I give it to the starving children in Africa or whatever? And my second question is, does doing things for people, like if somebody's hungry and said they were hungry and you left a load of groceries on their doorstep, would that be considered tithing?
Well, think about what Jesus said to the teachers of the law who did everything by legalistic prescriptions. He said, you tithe your mint, and yet you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, righteousness, and equity. And I think his words would echo down the corridor of time to us in our day. When we walk by someone who needs our help and say, I already gave at the church.
Right.
I think that we have to meet the needs of those that God places in our path. And for us, that has meant, in certain cases, taking people in, people that have lived with our family for a year or more. Because it was a need, we felt this was a need that God had called upon us to meet. Now, was it difficult? Yes. But was it rewarding? Absolutely. So it's not just tithing your mint and your cumin. It is that you have to take care of those who God places in your path. When you see those opportunities, you want to take advantage of those opportunities. And it's much more personal than simply putting a check in an offering plate. Now, that is not to denigrate or to lessen the responsibility to give to the local church. Giving to the local church is important because the church is the God-ordained vehicle through which we experience worship, through which we experience fellowship, and through which we ultimately are equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. But you have to be wise in your investments. If you're going to make investment in a company, you want to be very certain that you do your homework so that you make a wise investment. I think the same thing is true with respect to the kingdom of God. You want to invest in those ministries that are making the biggest difference for the kingdom. And in some cases, that means supporting organizations that come alongside the work of the local church and augment that work of the local church, because that's a very important function today. You look at a lot of churches today in our culture, they're not really serving as genuine churches, churches that are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, churches in which you can genuinely experience oneness, churches in which you're being equipped to impact the world. And therefore, they're not functioning in their role, and there have to be, therefore, because of this lack, there have to be other organizations that come alongside and augment the work of the local church. In a perfect world, it wouldn't be like that, but in this world, it is.
Well, I can honestly say, and I you just hit the nail on the head when you said people coming to you and the Lord sending people to you, because I don't really have a church that I found yet that I really care for, so I have no way to really tithe my money, so to speak, but there are people that seem to come to me a lot, not just, you know, people looking for money, but you can lend a hand to them or you know, even advice. And it almost sometimes does feel like the Lord is using me in that capacity, but I didn't know if that was along the line of tithing or not.
Well, I think, again, the point here is that you are a steward.
Mm-hmm.
A steward doesn't own anything. A steward is handling that which belongs to God. So you hold, as it were, your time, your talent, and your treasure. Three T's that you can remember. So it's not just treasure, but it's your time and your talent as well, with an open hand so that God can put in and take out as he sees fit. But let me give you a word of caution as well that I think is instructive and important at this point. It's critical that you do find a church. It's significant that you are part of a local expression of the Universal Church of God, which is a church that transcends this epoch of time. It is a church which encapsulates Abraham, a church that encapsulates the Apostle Paul, and a church that encapsulates you in the sense of people from every tongue and language and nation and people throughout the ages, but found in local expressions, which is to say that the body of Christ needs you, you need the body of Christ. And we weren't ever designed to be Lone Ranger Christians to go it alone. We were born into a family of God, and therefore do not neglect the gathering of yourselves, as is the custom of some. The scripture is explicit about that. We're going to have to leave it at that. Good conversation, good questions. I hope you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and use your time, talent, and treasure for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Robert in Aztec, New Mexico. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I praise God and thank Him for your ministry every day.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for doing that.
I am a praise and worship leader, and I have a praise and worship band, and we go to different places. With our music ministry, we go to parks and feed the homeless and praise and worship all day and minister to them. We go to different churches, but a lot of the churches I'm having problems with the speaking in tongues and no interpreters, and I'm trying to explain to my Christian brothers that I don't feel like I should be there because I don't want to be seen as condoning something that is not scriptural.
Well, that's a matter of conscience for you, but do remember that you are called to be salt and light in the world, to transform the world. And you can help a lot of people by the context in which God has placed you. Therefore, you can become leavening or seasoning salt in that context. You can give a good word of instruction, do it with gentleness and with respect, but God may be placing you in those circumstances in order to make a difference within those contexts.
I see. Just don't call them out on it in public. That's
well, I mean, look, if someone is communicating heresy publicly, there's a biblical prescription for giving warning publicly as well. The Apostle Paul certainly did that. We're called to do that as well. If spiritual cyanide is being communicated by the megadose through televangelists, publicly, public platforms, it is right to do correctives to that kind of teaching. If there weren't correctives, everybody who did not have discernment would swallow this spiritual cyanide. During the Tylenol scare, Tylenol was laced with cyanide, and therefore we were warned publicly that we shouldn't take Tylenol until this problem was resolved. If we did, it could have been lethal. It's one thing to be lethal on a physical level. It's another to be lethal on a spiritual level. And there are all kinds of people who come to faith in Christ, but what you win them by is what you win them to. And then the next thing you know is they're listening to a false teacher. And so they're not being built up in the faith, but they're actually being dragged down in the faith. And this is a very serious matter, and we should take this as a serious matter and therefore make our correctives publicly when it's warranted.
So if a pastor starts speaking in tongues and there's no interpreter, I should actually ask where the interpreter is, sir.
Well, and I would do that with gentleness and with respect. But I mean, I think this is a classic case in point of where if this is within a congregation that you can ask the pastor privately and respectfully. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 14? If tongues is spoken, there has to be an interpretation. And if there is an interpretation, that interpretation can be evaluated in light of Scripture. We can hold fast to that which is good. But if there's no interpretation, we can't evaluate it. Furthermore, if there's no interpretation, then there's no benefit.
There's no benefit for anyone, especially if you ask the one that's speaking in tongues, well, what were you praying about? Well, if he don't know, what good is it to anyone?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've already, talked to a pastor in private about it, and he told me I was being too straight-lined, and I said, brother, it says these words that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. I said, you cannot argue with that.
But amen. Well, it's good talking to you. May God continue to bless you in your very significant ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Hank.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I have a couple of questions to ask you. The first one is that my wife's family is all Catholic, and her father, every other word that comes out of his mouth, he takes the Lord's name in vain. But and on the other hand, he goes to church every Saturday, and he's a multimillionaire. And only way I can think that this is right in my own mind is that he's being given all of the gifts of the earth, being blessed by the earth. And, you know, he will pay for him taking the Lord's name in vain. And am I right in that assumption, or is he good and his going to church blesses him and kind of, you know, X's out what his mouth does?
Well, ultimately, in eternity, God will put all things to right. And if you genuinely love Jesus Christ, it is incongruent to that love to take the name of Jesus Christ in vain on an ongoing basis, to slander or drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. So it's inconsistent with Christian behavior. That is not to say that someone can't get mad and do something while they're mad that they wouldn't ordinarily do and then ask for forgiveness for it. And this is what we're called to do. We sin every single day in thought, word, and deed. And as a result of that, we ask forgiveness and recognize that He is just and righteous. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir. Well, it's really not in anger or anything of that sort. It's just general conversation. But my other question is my wife, she's from Louisiana, so they're all Catholics down there, and they've got their mindset. That's the way they grew up. We go to the church down there, and they never say, "For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." And so when they're all saying their prayer up to that point, and then I finish it up by saying, "For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," it just stumps me why they don't finish that conversation.
Well, actually, what's interesting about that is that that phrase is not found in the best and oldest and most authentic manuscripts. So while it is distinctly biblical in the sense that it communicates the essence of what you'd find in passages like 1 Chronicles 29, I think it's verse 11, it's actually not part of the Lord's Prayer. It was an interpolation placed in the text by a copyist. And through the science of textual criticism, you can determine that. I've actually written about that in a book called Has God Spoken? So it's not unbiblical to say that, but it's actually not part of the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, well, thank you a lot, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Good questions. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Andrea, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just had a question. It's from Matthew, I do believe, about where they call on the Lord, and then the Lord denies that they know, like, he denies knowing them, and he says, like, "I did not know you."
Yeah.
But these people, they were doing things in God's name, and they were doing good things like healing people and casting out spirits. And so I'm just wondering, like, it kind of seems like they have the Holy Spirit, which is like kind of like the feeling of knowing that you are saved.
And yeah, so I know the passage that you're talking about. This passage is a gripping passage, and it's where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,'
yes,
will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now, a classic example of that may well have been, and Christ might have had him in mind, Judas. Judas was part of Christ's inner circle. And therefore, he was driving out demons, he was performing miracles, and so forth. And yet, Jesus later on explains to us what's going on with Judas. Judas is not there because he loves the Master. He's not there because he truly knows the Master. But he's there because he loves what is on the Master's table. So for Judas, Christ was a means to an end. For a genuine believer, Christ is the end. And that's the difference. And that's why, though he did these things in the name of Christ, and preachers, they can preach from motives of avarice and greed and not really love the Lord Jesus Christ, and people can come to faith in Christ. And that doesn't mean the conversion isn't real, but it does point to the fact that the person who did the converting wasn't genuinely saved themselves. So that certainly is possible. That's a great and grave warning that Jesus Christ is giving. And Paul expands on this in his own epistles, where he points out that, yeah, the gospel can be preached through false prophets who are doing what they're doing for filthy lucre, and yet people can come to faith in Christ. And we praise God for those that come to faith in Christ, but that doesn't justify the motives of the preachers. Now, you know, obviously we cannot judge anybody's heart. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But we do recognize that Jesus had the ability to do that, and this is precisely what Jesus is doing here. He's looking beyond the externalities. He's looking at the heart, and he's saying that there are many who will say that the right things and even perform miracles, and yet their heart is far away from him.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it does. So is it basically that Jesus would say that because he knows the heart, just like it would look like to everyone looking at Judas that he was?
Yeah, we would have said he's the real deal. I mean, how do I get to be like Judas? He's part of Christ's inner circle. But Jesus looks beyond the externalities. He looks at the heart, and he sees the real Judas. And again, as I said before, he sees that Judas is there not because he loves the master, but Judas is there because he loves what is on the master's table. Good question. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.